Thanks. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Well, isn't it fun to be back on Zoom? I didn't think I'd be doing this again. But on the positive side, we tend to make our sermons shorter when we're on Zoom. So you don't have to listen to me for as long and I didn't have to write as much. So win-win. But this morning, we're continuing our series on prayer. And we've been focusing on prayer because it's first in our core values and in our way of life. Although, as we look at prayer, we are seeing it overlap with other areas of our way of life. For example, a few weeks ago, Tom was looking at praying through the Bible. And today, I'm going to look at something we call breath prayers, which overlaps really with the pausing regularly to focus on God. We want this series, really, on prayer to be practical. We're looking at different ways we can pray and how we can draw closer to God. And the hope is that as we do this, that all of us will kind of, I don't know, find new ways of connect with God and really deepen our prayer lives. And so in a bit, I'm going to look at how we can do these breath prayers. But first, just because this can sometimes in some areas of the church be a little controversial, I just want to look at why I think this is actually an important way of praying. The breath prayer is really part of what gets called contemplative Christianity, which is essentially a group of practices which date back to the early church and just seek to focus on God and having an awareness of his presence. And such practices were common right from the early church up until really the Protestant Reformation, when many leaders of the new Protestant movement kind of denounced such practices, generally for no other reason than because Catholics did them and so they must be bad. A lot of things at that time were condemned by Protestants at that time simply because they were deemed Catholic, whatever that means. Unfortunately, there was a lot of what you call throwing the baby out with the bathwater at the time. For example, Catholic churches were filled with art and colour. So many of the first Protestants said their churches had to be really plain, just because it was the opposite. Quite a few Protestant churches actually banned church music altogether. It seemed like the Catholic Church's love of art made the Protestants just hate it. I know it's small fry compared to the fact that, you know, the first Protestants would kill anyone they considered a heretic, but it's a reminder of how easily we can just divide over small and ridiculous things in the church. And I truly believe actually having a more contemplative Christianity is a really important antidote to such division. Particularly now, when we're looking at a time where so many people in the world can be so reactionary and wanting to sow division. And our core values and way of life deliberately promote slowing down because we don't want to be a part of that world of division. Unfortunately, that world of division is infiltrating the church. Too many Christians today seem to be fueled by anger rather than love and compassion. And I don't want any part of that. Remember, our mission statement is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. We cannot achieve that when we're motivated by anger or what we're against. So while the rejection of music in the church hasn't really continued 500 years later, although there's still some who'll, you know, complain if you play anything on a modern instrument, sadly, the objection to contemplation seems to have hung around for a lot of Protestants. There are plenty who will still dismiss this as a Catholic practice and therefore wrong. And the same can happen like that with all sorts of related things. Ideas such as soon as you mention word like meditation or mindfulness. Like meditation is something many Christians, some I've known, instantly dismiss the word. Even though we actually see it in the Bible, particularly in the Psalms. Like Psalm 119 alone mentions meditating 8 times on God's decrees, on his deeds, on his promises. See, what meditate means here, it's not the clearing of your mind that some people might consider meditation to be. It actually means, colloquially, to chew the cud. And chewing the cud is this process where some animals will store partly digested food in a separate stomach and then regurgitate it, that partly digested food, and chew on it again, And they may do that several times before it's finally fully digested and goes into a different stomach. Beautiful imagery from the Bible there. And the animals who do this tend to chew their food really slowly, part of this, because they want it really digested before it goes through to the other stomach. So the fact that this term is used for meditation, meaning chew the cud, tells us that meditation should involve thinking upon the same thing many times, really slowly, pondering, deliberating, to fully digest what it means and understand it. And there's real value in doing this, especially in our age when everything in the world seems to be so fast and instant. To take time over scripture and God's promises and really meditate on what has God said to us, I think is really important in our culture. And as Christians who we're kind of in a tradition where, because we believe God continually speaks to us, and that's right, we can actually easily miss this. We can fall into the trap of asking God, what's the new thing you want to say to me all the time, when we've done nothing with the last thing he said to us. We can kind of be like children who are always wanting a new toy and don't want to play with the old toys they've got anymore. I'm bored of that now. What's the new thing? And obviously, I'm not saying we shouldn't be listening for God to speak new things to us. We should. But there are times when we need to place more value on what God has already said when he speaks, and consider it for longer. So slowing down like this in this busy world, I think, is so important. And meditating on God is a vital way of doing that, because it changes our focus from what our situation is to what is truly important, to what is eternal. And a way a lot of people are doing this in the secular world now is something I mentioned a bit ago called mindfulness. It's been very popular recently, and it is because of this desire of people to slow down in a busy world. Now, unlike meditation, it's not mentioned in the Bible. It doesn't mean it's not something we can't learn anything from. Because of its popularity, even if you haven't tried it, you've probably heard about it. And while there are many different ways it is practiced, it's essentially a set of techniques that deliberately focus your attention on the present moment. But once again, there are Christians who have concerns about this, and to be honest, some of them are understandable. Mindfulness does have its roots in some Buddhist meditation techniques, although many of the people practicing it in the West are doing a secularized version rather than a Buddhist meditation. But there are actually Christian versions of mindfulness too, which is good, because we shouldn't just think, because something's slightly associated with another religion, that we should just, we avoid that like the plague. We can actually miss out on good stuff, because a lot of things like this, people in other religions have described them, because it's all about, you know, like us, they're trying to find their connection with God, and they're humans who have been created by God. And so their ways of doing it, maybe even though they're wrong in some ways, are actually in some ways connected to who God has made them to be and the way we search for him. So we shouldn't just instantly dismiss. We should look and modify, but learn as well. Because looking at mindfulness, there are plenty of examples of evidence that mindfulness breathing techniques help to reduce stress and anxiety. And so rather ignoring that, just because it's similar to something Buddhists do, we should look at that and say, well, there's positive we can take. And particularly with Christian versions of it, how we can bring that breathing in, the advantage of that, with these breath prayers. So as I said, mindfulness is about focusing on the present. So in mindfulness, you might start breathing slowly and just noticing what's around you. So I'm saying, oh, that's a pretty flower. I can hear the birds singing, things like that. And that's all lovely, but as a follower of Jesus, if I'm going to focus on the present moment, I want to focus on the ultimate truth that in every moment, God is present. And everything I notice around me is only there because God is present. Once again, our mission statement is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. That doesn't mean God isn't always present with us and we have to do something to make him come to us. But we need to be living with that awareness of his presence, that he is there all the time. And stopping to breathe and focus on God and the fact that he is present with us is an incredibly simple yet powerful way we can do that. In the Bible, words that mean breath are used to describe the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it's Ruach, and in the New Testament, it's Pneuma. One example where Pneuma is used in the New Testament is in John 20, verses 21 to 22. It's when Jesus is with the disciples after the resurrection. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that action of Jesus breathing on the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit echoes Genesis 2, where it says God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And stopping to breathe is a reminder to us of God's presence. And not just that, but that we have received the Holy Spirit. And that each time that we breathe, every breath we take is only because of God. Stopping and to breathe and pray reminds us of those most important fundamental things. Even if everything else in life can seem out of control sometimes, thanks to God, I have breath, I have life, I have his spirit living in me. Whatever else is going on, they're pretty amazing things that we can just take for granted too easily. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Breath prayer came about, at least in part, as a way of trying to achieve this. Because as important as it is to stop and do the breath prayer and focus on God, with practice, it can become something you can do while doing other things. For example, I was doing it while grating carrots last night. And pray in all situations. But what heaven is, above all else, is constant communion with God. And if that's going to be our final destination, it needs to be our aim on earth, even if we're not going to fully achieve it in this life. So as I said at the start, I want this series to be practical. So we're going to give this a try now to finish. The first and most famous breath prayer is something called the Jesus Prayer. It dates back to at least the 5th century. And so then people doing that, if they breathe in, will say, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." Then as they breathe out, they say, "Have mercy on me." There are minor variations on it, but that seems to be the most common version. But it's not a magic formula we have to use. That's the only thing you can pray when you breathe. There are so many different things you can say when praying a breath prayer. Most breath prayers will involve calling out God's name in some way as you breathe in. This is partly to remind us that we're in God's presence and speaking to him. And it also helps us remember that we're only taking that breath because of him. While the Jesus Prayer often uses "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God," you don't have to use that. You could just say "Lord Jesus Christ, for Son of God," or "Abba Father," or "Holy Spirit," or basically anything you would use to address God in prayer is fine. Then there's so much more room for variation when you breathe out. You could pray based on scripture. For example, you could, as you breathe out, you could pray, "You are working all things for good. I will not fear, for you are with me. I come to you, for you give me rest." A multitude of other things. You could pray, if not directly from scripture, but using truths that we know about who God is. Just like, "Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you're with me right now." You could just simply pray whatever's on your heart in that moment. It might be just you're in a difficult situation. It might just be like, "Help me to get this sermon written on time." Or just a general prayer of thanksgiving, you know, "Thank you for this beautiful day." When breathing out, I often ask God just to be filling me with his spirit, particularly at the start of the day. I think it's a good thing to, like, you think of your day ahead. I want to go into this day filled with the spirit. You don't even have to say anything. Sometimes it's just good to breathe in and breathe out and think about God. similar to taking 2 minutes of silence for the daily office. Just imagine yourself breathing in the Spirit of God. I do it like that. I just imagine breathing in like I'm taking God's Spirit in. You don't even then have to imagine anything particularly as you breathe out, but if you want to, one idea is, remember, as you breathe out, then we take in God's Spirit to impart it to the world. You know, like we're blessed to be a blessing. So you think as you exhale out, the reminder that we breathe in God's Spirit to take it to the world. Another possibility some people will do, imagine as you breathe out, you're kind of breathing out all the junk that takes the place of God in our lives. Just like when we breathe in, we take in oxygen, and then we breathe out that carbon dioxide to make more room for more oxygen. In the same way, you can think, I'm breathing in the Spirit, I'm breathing out all that crud. I don't need all the stuff that I've wrongly looked to find life in instead of God. That's just a few suggestions from the multitude of possibilities you could try. The whole point of this series, though, on prayer, is to experiment, seek God in new ways, just give it a try. So we're going to do that now. One final thing I want to say. The aim of this is not to create a warm, fuzzy feeling of God's presence, and that's the sign that you're doing it right. God is already present. What we're doing is reorientating our thinking so that we're living in an awareness of what is what we already know to be true. God is present regardless of how you feel. There may be times when you do get a tangible sense of God's presence, and it's great when that happens, but if you're not careful, you can get into a state where you're chasing that instead of actually focusing on God. And so we just need to be having that focus on God and regardless of what happens. So I'm just going to finish now with a time of silence for a few minutes. Just encourage you to give this a try. Breathe in and breathe out. And it's, like I said, you do it in silence, or you can speak to God as you do it. And so I'm not going to close in prayer because we're all about to pray now. So just try some phrases or breathe, whatever works for you. Thanks, guys.